Good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Joel preaching from Resurrection Free Lutheran Church this morning. But I'm preaching to an empty room except for Todd, my sound man. It's a little odd feeling, but we're recording this on Friday and hoping that you'll get a chance to listen to this on Sunday. It's an interesting time we're going through. We haven't had a pandemic sweep across our nation like this for over 100 years. But this is a great time to be the church. Be able to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to put our faith in Him, and to be used by Him to bring peace and calm, love and truth to the people around us. Hear these encouraging words from the prophet Isaiah. He spoke during a time of great upheaval in the nation of Israel. People were panicking as the oppressive Assyrian military regime was coming against them. Eventually, the cities would be surrounded, the people would be starved as they were trapped inside their city walls. But Isaiah brought a message to fearful people. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, he writes, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And in verse 13, he adds, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate these words that you have given your church. From ages past, right on to now, the present, we know we can put our trust in you. You are the God that strengthens us. You are the God that helps us. You are the God that upholds us. You have us in your hand, Lord. We celebrate that truth. And you are holding our hand. Lord, we want to picture that right now. You, the mighty God, grasping us in our situation, in our times of concern, you are holding on to us. And so we fear not. We trust you, the one who helps us. And we pray that now as we open your word together that you would be speaking to us through your word. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to be the preacher this morning. We invite you to guide us, to illuminate your truth, to speak your encouragement into us. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I would encourage you to grab your Bibles and be looking with me at these two sections of Scripture where Jesus is speaking to his critics. We'll be looking at John chapter 5 and then a section in John chapter 8. What I want you to be able to see this morning is how Jesus, during a time of people resisting him, during a time when people were trying to attack him, during a time when they were trying to trip him up, Jesus communicated some truths about himself, about his relationship with God, about his purpose for being on the earth, and then about how we could serve and love and live like he himself did. See, Jesus is not only our Savior, he's also our example. He's not only the one who came to rescue us, he's the one that came to show us how to live. And so as we look to God's Word, we want to both apply the example to our daily life as well as putting our faith in what God has accomplished for us. So first, looking at John chapter 5. Start reading at verse 19. John chapter 5, starting at verse 19. It reads, "Jesus gave them this answer, 'I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. In this amazing section of Scripture, as Jesus is interacting with his critics, he's pointing out to us the reason he came. He came to bring the message of hope. He came to preach that those who were dead could come alive. He came to bring a judgment that divided those who had no faith from those who did have faith. That judgment is actually an act of mercy for those who will respond to Christ. And so you and I are invited in this section of Scripture to respond to Christ, to put our faith in him, to trust him, to recognize that he is the one that comes to call people out of their deadness, out of their graves, and into an eternal life relationship with him, to rise, to live with him forever and ever. So I invite you right now to pray and to say, Lord, I give you my life. I recognize that you, Lord Jesus, are from the Father, from heaven, came to earth to be the perfect sacrifice and to die in my place, so that now by giving my life to you, I might have the gift of eternal life. Amen. And then notice how Jesus operated. In a time when people are questioning what's going on in the world and how we should respond and how we could live in a time of such upheaval, Jesus was able to minister stress-free. And doesn't that sound good? Stress-free living? You and I need to follow Christ's example for stress-free living. Notice he says in verse 19, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. See, that was Jesus' secret. He looked at the Father, and what the Father was doing, he did. It's really quite simple. It's one of those things where we don't need an advanced education. We don't need a degree in applied kinesiology or engineering or physics or one of the disciplines of the world. What we need is to look to the Father. As we look to the Father, we then follow his example, do what we see him doing, joining him in his effort. Now, the reason I'm bringing this message and this scripture is because previously we've been talking about dying to self. As we've been moving through the Lent season, we've been focusing on death, death to self. And I've had people ask me, well, how do we really do that? How do we die to self that we might live to Christ and live through faith? Well, here is Christ teaching the same thing from a different angle. The secret to dying to self is the living for Christ. And the way we live for Christ is by watching the Father and doing what the Father is doing. But not only watching, there's also listening. There's listening. In verse 24, it says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. See, there's a transition that occurs when this transaction of faith happens. When a person hears, and that hearing results in belief deep down inside, that results in them crossing the chasm, crossing over from death to life, crossing over from being self-directed to being Christ-directed. A spiritual transaction occurs that changes a person's eternal destiny, changes their identity. They become a born-again, born-from-above person, born by the Spirit person, who has God breathing life into them, causing their spirit to come to life. And from that point on, an amazing thing happens in a believer. Verse 25 says, I tell you the truth, a time is coming, and has now come, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That hearing starts life, and then there is an ongoing process of continuing to hear. Verse 28, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. There's the birth of faith, there's the beginning of eternal life, and then there's the ongoing of living it out, of living it out. To see this more clearly, flip over to chapter 8. John chapter 8. Again, this is a chapter full of conflict between Jesus and his critics. They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to accuse him of being of the devil. And in verse 25, we'll pick up the interaction where the critics demand, who are you? Jesus answered and said, just what I have been claiming all along. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. But they did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. Verse 28 says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the man, the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Verse 30, even as Jesus spoke, many put their faith in him. See, the issue here is who we're listening to. The critics were not listening to God. They weren't listening to the Father. Even though they claimed to be followers of God, they really had fallen into a habit of listening to one another, listening to the things that the world, the people around them were saying, elevating the things that could be seen with the eyes of flesh. And Jesus comes and says, I am telling you what I heard from my true Father in heaven. He did this, he says in verse 28, by doing nothing on his own, but only speaking what the Father had taught him or told him. Imagine you and I going through a time like this. A time when we're not quite sure how to respond to the nervousness and the fear that's sweeping across our nation because of the pandemic. Imagine if we could have our ears tuned in to listen to what Jesus and the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit are saying. Imagine what it would be like if we went into a situation wondering who we should get close to, who we should talk to, how we could stay with the proper social distancing in our lives, wondering what we should do financially, wondering what's going to happen to our finances. Well, imagine if we were going into those situations with ears tuned in to hear the voice of the Father. Imagine if we could say like Jesus said, I only speak what the Father has told me. Now, the reason Jesus could do this, and the reason that you and I can do this, is the next verse. Verse 29 of chapter 8 of the Gospel of John reads, Jesus speaking, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. Friends, we are not in this situation by ourselves. Just as Jesus was always walking in the presence of the Father, so we too now, as the people of faith, as the people who have put our trust in Christ, we are constantly in the presence of God. The Father is with us. The Son is with us. All of this through the empowerment and enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. With us. Every single second. There's not a situation you or I face that we're going at it alone. There's not a time when we're by ourselves when we're deserted. And so we could go through that moment doing what pleases God. See, as Jesus spoke these words, many put their faith in him. Many recognized that he indeed was the one from God, with God, in the very beginning, here doing the work of God, which would eventually lead him to the cross, where he would die in our place to pay the debt for all of our sins. Jesus came to rescue. People heard him speak it. They put their faith in him. You and I can do the same right now by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next section of this chapter 8 is more interaction as Jesus is trying to explain to them the difference between merely being those who claim to be children of Abraham and being those who have really put their trust in the God of Abraham. Verse 34 of chapter 8. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, the critics responded. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill him, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. But we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he has sent me. And skipping down to verse 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Friends, there really are only two groups of people in this vast world. There are those who have responded to God and put their faith in him, and those that have not. Recognizing this helps us recognize that we will bump into people who, while they might claim to be God followers, they might claim to be people in the know or people that deserve respect, the reality is they have never bowed their heart. Again, using the terminology from past weeks, they have never died to self. They have never been crucified with Christ so that Christ can now live in them as they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But a person who has humbled himself, a person who says, I want you, Lord Jesus, to be the master of my life, that's a person who has heard from God to birth him into faith and now is in the ongoing lifelong pattern of continuing to listen to God. He who belongs to God hears what God says. What a promise for you and I. What a promise that God is a God who speaks, that God is a God who guides, that God is a God who gives direction and insight and ongoing instruction how we can go through living day to day. A person who can please God, living the way God wants him or her to live. My friends, I believe that we are living in a profound time, a time of great privilege, a time of great opportunity, a time when we can be an influence on the people around us like never before. When things are rattled, when things are impacted, when chaos seems to be sweeping around the globe, that is a time when the followers of Christ can stand up and proclaim the message of Christ. Here's how we can do it. Here's what I encourage you to do then, starting today. Gather together as a family, open up God's word, read the section maybe that we just talked about today, John chapter 5 or John chapter 8, respond to the words there with faith, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ for the things that he's accomplished, the things he's proclaiming there, agreeing with those truths, and then recognizing our true identity, recognizing how we're invited to follow the example of Christ, living like Christ. We can read God's word, hear God speak to us through it, be empowered by his Spirit as we consume those truths, and then be sent out to interact with family and friends with a proper social distance between us to deliver that same message. We have God's word brought into our ears and then empowered to go out through our mouths to the people around us. While people are social distancing, it's time for the church to connect like never before. We might not be able to gather the ways we've gathered, but there are unique opportunities in front of you. I want to encourage you that God deemed you worthy to live in a time like this. God looked and said, there's a person that I could use in a time of chaos. And so you were born. And so you were brought to faith. And so you were brought into a family of God. And so you were put into a church. And so you are now positioned in a community to be God's agents, to be God's ambassadors, to be God's proclaimers of hope and trust, to be dispensers of his love. There's going to be some hurting people. There's going to be some people filled with anxiety. And you are there to bring God's hope to them. Now be at peace, because you don't have to do this in your own strength. You don't have to think up the most profound words to proclaim. You simply are a person who connects to God, looks to God, watches what God is doing, listens to what God is saying, and then does what God's doing, says what God's saying. You become God's mouths, God's hands, God's hearts, God's instruments of peace into this world, instruments of reconciliation, God making his appeal through you, inviting people to be reconciled to him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you trust us to be your sons and your daughters. We thank you that you paid the price, that you died on the cross, that you paid the penalty for all the mistakes we have made in the past, in the present, and in the future. We thank you that you are transforming us into your very image, that you are putting yourself into us by your Spirit, so that now our spirits are birthed and our spirits are in tune and in fellowship with you. We invite you to continue to open up our spiritual eyes and open up our spiritual ears so we can see and so we can hear what you're doing and what you're saying. And then, Lord, empower us to pass those along, to join you in those activities, to proclaim the same message, your message, to the people around us. Help us to see how we can do your will at this time and in this place. Lord, we love you. We celebrate you. We recognize that you are bigger and stronger than any of the things that are assailing us, whether it's critics who don't understand our true identity, like Jesus was encountering, or whether it's those who are full of fear and only looking out for themselves and the bad-mouthing the church around the world. We believe, Lord, that what you are doing is awakening the world, the people, the nations. You're awakening them to your truth and to your act of reconciliation. Empower us, we ask, that we might boldly proclaim your message and boldly share your love. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, church, I want to encourage you to continue to look out for one another. Continue to reach out to one another. There's opportunities to serve all around us. I also invite you to be communicating with us as church leaders and how we can best serve you during this time. If there's a way we can reach out to you, let us know. We're going to be exploring different avenues of how to communicate with you, whether it's a radio message or a message on the internet. We'll be looking at whether we can do some video streaming or other options. If you're a person with skills in those areas, we'd invite you to help us as we reach out to others. But God is on the throne right now. He is in charge. We are His. We are in His hands. As Isaiah told us, we are in His righteous right hand. So we are safe. God bless you. Amen.